Translation. By giving charity, a benevolent and merciful person undoubtedly becomes even more auspicious, especially when he gives to a person like your good self. Under the circumstances, I must give this little brahmachari whatever charity he wants from me. Purport. If one accepts a poverty-stricken position because of losing money in business, gambling, prostitution, or intoxication, no one will praise him. But if one becomes poverty-stricken by giving all of his possessions in charity, he becomes adored all over the world. Aside from this, if a benevolent and merciful person exhibits his pride in becoming poverty-stricken by giving his possessions in charity for good causes, his poverty is a welcome and auspicious sign of a great personality. Bali Maharaj decided that even though he would become poverty-stricken by giving everything to Vamana Dev, this is what he would prefer. So the discussion is going on. Bali Maharaj and Shukracharya is standing there, telling him, don't give everything away. If you give everything away, you'll have nothing left. Bali Maharaj is saying, really? That's very good. That's a good idea. Shukracharya is saying, this is a very bad thing to do. And Bali Maharaj is saying, no, it's a very good thing. Because if I give everything away in charity to a suitable person, that's glorious. To lose all your money is not considered good. If someone loses it through bad luck in business, or someone cheats him, what to do? Before, he may have been a very respectable person. There are so many cases. Respectable person in society. Would be better if you would have come around this way and put it there instead of walking like that. Before, you may be very respectable. Then when you lose all your money, you just become just like anyone else. There are so many cases I've seen in Bangladesh. So many families, they were very rich families, Jomida, owning so much land. Then there was the Mahatma Gandhi, not Mahatma, Jawaharlal Nehru decided, let us have independent India and let us be kind to the Muslims and give them Pakistan. Let us be nice. Give them the land. So many Hindus in East Bengal, at that time they called it East Pakistan. They left, they had to leave everything, all their land, and some who were left behind, still officially the land is in their property, but practically it's not at all. They're just big, rich. You'll see people are very cultured and everything, but they don't have any money. So that's not glorious. That's considered unlucky. What to do? That's fate. Fate is stronger than I, there's a saying. Fate is stronger than I. Why has this happened? Fate is stronger than I. So you may also lose your money by gambling, intoxication, illicit sex. That's worse. If you lose your money in business, or you're overcome by someone who's stronger than you and they rob you or they cheat you, no one's going to praise you. They'll say, what a fool. If you lose it in gambling or in intoxication or by chasing after prostitutes, that is despicable. There are so many cases, even people, they're not wealthy, they don't even have hardly any money. But whatever they get, they spend it in intoxication, prostitution or gambling. There are so many cases I've seen. Some of my friends in my school age, their father, whatever, they'll earn in one day. Same thing as here. They'll work on the building site. They'll earn in one day. Whatever they earn in the day, they'll drink at night. And the mother is at home with 13 children and no money. One child after another. They come home drunk at night and make a new child. And then 9 months later, another one comes. And how to feed? That's not my bother. I only come here to sleep. That's all. So that's not praiseworthy. That's despicable. Or gambling. There's so many cases. People even, for the sake of gambling or intoxication, people, they'll steal even their own daughter's jewelry. You know, there must be so many cases. It's more and more common in the modern age. You must all be knowing some cases. You know some cases like this, Sumitra? Or they'll kill their father. The old man, why doesn't he die? He's too old. We want to get his money. Kill him. So this greed for money, and then whatever you get, you spend. So no one's going to praise you for that. But if you give it in charity, even if you become poverty stricken, that is glorious. Especially if you give it to the right person. If you give it, that's described in Bhagavad Gita, there are different kinds of charity. Charity given to the right person, in the right place, at the right time, without any desire for any personal gain or return, that's in the mode of goodness. But if you give charity to the wrong person in the wrong time, in the wrong place, with some motive, that's charity in the mode of ignorance. That's sinful. Not all charity is good. I remember years ago, I must have been about 8 years old, I saw in the newspaper that people are starving in Bihar in India. Later I went to Bihar, I asked them, and as a devotee I went, and asked, was there ever any starvation? No. They were just pretending for collecting money. These things go on. So there's one organization, they made advertisement in the newspaper that you should give money to us because we're not just feeding people, but we're educating them so they won't have to starve. And they showed a picture of an old man, very thin. You know, old man, he's going to die anyway. You see an old man lying on his charpoy. You know this charpoy? They have this bed made from a wooden frame with the net, the rope netting. And there's a cow standing in front of him. You see, this man is dying from starvation, and the cow is standing next to him. He won't kill the cow because he's a Hindu. So he's so foolish. So we're educating people so they don't have to starve. You see, all these people are starving, but we're educating them, you should eat the cow, and then you don't have to starve. Because in the Western countries, they think it's funny. Sacred cow, they think it's a joke. People in India, they don't eat cows. They think it's sacred. They think, how funny. What a stupid thing. You should just eat. Come on, they just kill the cow and eat it. Why not? It's good food. Tastes good. I was just reading the other day, there was some conversation that they were describing, Prabhupada. They were describing the devotees were describing to Prabhupada how some people, they had a plane crash in the Andes mountains in South America. And for 18 days, they were not rescued. Remember reading this? So in the plane, some people survived and some people died. So to stay alive for 18 days, they ate the bodies of the dead people. So then when they got rescued, all the interviews came. What was it like? What did it taste like? Was it good? Eating human flesh. They were interested. What was it like? How did you feel eating human flesh? So actually Prabhupada said that was all right under that circumstance to eat, to stay alive. Of course, if you eat to stay alive so you can go back to eating cow's flesh, better you die. You'd have less sin. Just the same thing, we're talking about charity. So people think, I'm giving charity. You want to build a temple? Go out and collect. Not so easy. You want to build a hospital? Oh, if you tell people we're building a hospital, immediately they'll give so much money. See, Sai Baba now building hospitals. People are praising so much. Of course, if he's really God, then he can just, not even God, even so many people, just by touching people, they can cure them. And Sai Baba's building a hospital, already built. Great welfare worker. The incarnation of God who kills hospitals. Keshavadrita Hospital Banana Jai Hai Sai Baba Ahari, not Hari. So people think giving charity for building hospitals, this is wonderful. This is Manava Seva. You're serving the mankind. So what happens? People go to the hospital. Why they're sick anyway? Because they're eating meat, drinking. Not surprising they get sick. So they go to the hospital and they get cured so they can go on with more sense gratification. Very good. You become healthy. We're building a hospital so people can live a healthy life for sense gratification. They can enjoy themselves more. Why die? Stay alive and enjoy yourself. Just like you see the people, they want peace. We want peace in Kosovo, therefore we are bombing Serbia to pieces. Peace. It's all in the name of peace. So why do people want peace? So they can enjoy sense gratification undisturbedly. You see, at the time, Prabhupada, he first came to America, there's Vietnam War going on. For some reason or other, America, they have this funny thing. They go off to some remote part of the world and start bombing all the people to pieces in the name of promoting justice and peace and so many different things. So at the time, they decided, well, let's bomb the Vietnamese. Do them good. Give them some good American bombs. So the American students were protesting, make love, not war. In other words, have sex. Don't go to the battlefield and get yourself blown to pieces. We want peace. But why they want peace? So they can enjoy sense gratification. So this kind of charity, or this kind of peace, or this kind of anything for sense gratification, that is not pious. If you're trying to have peace in the world, you're a member of a peace organization, but you're just doing it so that we can peacefully enjoy sense gratification, then there's nothing pious about that. Actually, there's no question of peace. If you engage in sinful life, there's no question of peace. They want peace, and at the same time, they're killing millions of animals. It's contradictory. How can you have peace if you're killing the animals? There must be for the first thing, you're not being peaceful to the animals. Why don't you give them peace? The next point is that if you do that, you must get a reaction. There's no question of there not being wars, earthquakes, and so many different things if people are sinful. And people are grossly sinful. Now there's a lot of talk about how there'll be world disasters and so many things. But definitely there must be reactions to sinful life. Another thing I see, and now I'm talking like an old man, in my childhood, I remember, when there was a plane crash, big news in the newspaper. Nowadays, if there's some plane, of course it's in America, it's big news, but if it's in Peru or somewhere, there's this much in the newspaper. 240 people die in plane crash in Peru. This much in the newspaper. 800,000 people killed in Rwanda. Did you see the president said sorry? Now the president said sorry. We will be good boys from now on. So all these things, you see, before Stalin, Hitler, they're considered very big demons because they did so much genocide, they killed so many people. But now it's practically become common. There's always one genocidal war going on all over. You know what genocide means? That means when you just go in and mass kill people. It's a very common thing. They were doing in Bosnia, now Kosovo, and so many places. In Bihar, there's war going on practically for so many years. So these things will go on because people are sinful. Must, there's no question. You can have your peace committees, meetings. You see, these rascals, they'll have a peace meeting, United Nations, and then they'll have a dinner with crabs and lobsters and beefsteaks and turkey. They're making war by the violence that they are committing on animals. They are making war, and they're talking of peace. And Henry Kissinger got the Nobel Peace Prize. How wonderful. But he was orchestrating the war against Vietnam, and then they started bombing Cambodia also. And then when, for political reasons, they had to stop, he negotiated the peace and they gave him the Nobel Peace Prize. How wonderful. Hypocrisy. Just hypocrisy. So Bali Maharaj, he doesn't like Shukracharya's hypocrisy. That you're supposed to advise me for my best benefit, but the best benefit is if I can give everything in charity. What is better than that? I have to lose everything anyway. I conquered over the heavenly planets, but anyway I'm going to have to lose it. At least at the time of death. So better I give it all. Now, what better person has come than Vamandev to give everything away to? Let me give it to him, and I will achieve eternal fame. Kirti yasya sajivati. Prabhupada used to quote that. Who has got fame, he continues to live. So there are different ways. If you want, that's another thing. Sometimes people want to be famous because they want to imitate Krishna. Krishna has all six qualities, six opulences in full. So people want to imitate. They want to become wealthy. Even if they're wealthy, they have more money than they need. Still, they try to get more money. You'll find, just like one friend of our movement, almost every day he's visiting the temple. If he's in Bombay or in London, he'll come. He's a very rich man, but he's very busy because he's wanting to make more money. If he retired now, he could live, even if he gave away 90% of his wealth, he could still live far more comfortably for the rest of his life than the majority of the world's population in luxury. Still he's working, desire to accumulate more wealth. So people desire, I will become famous. Sometimes to become famous, people do things with no meaning, just like they'll eat a car. Do you know this? Someone has eaten a car. They get the car, they grind it into powder. It must cost a lot of, anyway one car is expensive. And to grind it into powder must be very expensive. And then you eat a little bit every day. And then after 10 years, when you've eaten the car, you get your name put in the Guinness Book of Records. Someone has eaten a car. Wonderful. There's one person, he shot John Lennon. Have you ever heard of John Lennon? 90% of your life is wasted. The Beatles. John Lennon, give peace a chance. He made his song. Let it be. Whisper words of wisdom. Let it be. Let everything be. Let the crime and corruption and everything, let it be. Mayavad. All these ideas. So he got shot. Why the person shot him? He became famous. Ronald Reagan's. Someone shot him. He became famous. Kennedy, well, who shot him? That's another big question. Do you know who shot him? I don't. Someone does, but they're not saying. It wasn't Lee Harvey Oswald, that's for sure. Someone shot him too. And then he got shot too. It's like a whole chain. So, why did it become famous? But that kind of fame, what's the value? He became famous for shooting the President of America. He became famous for eating a car. He became famous for having the... Was it Kapil Dev has got more wickets or something, or more runs than anyone in the whole history of cricket in India, I think. Is it not in the world? Famous. But what is the value? That... Shvavidvara hoshtra karai sangstuta purusha pashu. People who are like dogs, hogs, camels and asses, They praise other hogs, dogs, camels and asses. You see, Kapiladev is a great batsman. Is it a batsman or bowler or both? He's an all-rounder. Great. Fantastic. We love to watch Kapiladev on TV. So he's praised by foolish people. Game, all right, it's a game for children. But then they make million-dollar business, big game. But he's a fool. Just like when he went to Australia, they asked Kapiladev, well, what do you think of the Hare Krishna movement? And he said, well, I don't think you can take a culture from one country to another. So then our devotees came in the newspaper, our devotees wrote, well, what about cricket? That's not Indian culture. That came from England. You fool, you rascal. They didn't write that. It's obvious. He's doing something. Actually, it's very foolish to spend your life. I mean, in one sense, it's not foolish because he earns some money by doing it. But then, at the time of death, when you go to see Yamaraj, well, what did you do in your life? Well, I took 1,000 catches, and I ate 1,000 hamburgers. Okay, that's 1,000 yugas in hell for you. What about Krishna? Did you ever chant Hare Krishna? No. So then that means you're foolish. You're praised by other fools who think this is very wonderful. So Bali Maharaj, he was more intelligent. Actually, we see from this, in one sense, there's nothing wrong to want to be famous. Even Prabhupada used to say that. Kirtir yasya sajivati. I already got two. Now I got three. And Bali Maharaj did another. Now I got three. I'm becoming famous. Getting lots of garlands. So, even Prabhupada, he used to, sometimes, he said one time he called all his temple presidents in America and said that, now your life has become glorious. Go out and make others glorious. Prabhupada sometimes expressed that he wanted his disciples to become famous. He liked that. He was very happy. He heard Bhavananda Maharaj. Actually, whatever people may say, Prabhupada liked him a lot. So there came the story how he was arrested and dragged to prison in chains. But by this he became very famous. Then afterwards he was going on the boat and people were coming and asking for his signature. And Prabhupada was very pleased. He said, good, you should become famous. You've become famous all over Bengal. He liked that. Nowadays, of course, we have this Ritvik Vad in which they say that everyone should just be a new Bhakta forever. No one should give any respect to any sadhus or gurus. But Prabhupada didn't say that. He said that all of my disciples, especially the sannyasis, they should make 10,000 disciples. Of course, K.K. Desai has an explanation for this, that Prabhupada didn't really mean that. He said it, but he was only saying it because his disciples were ambitious and he wanted to pacify them. This is called the Ritvik Maya Vad interpretation. So in one sense, there's nothing wrong to want to be famous, but not on your own account if you can do something for Krishna. Just like Prabhupada went all over the world and he made Krishna famous. Now among Indian people, because Indian people have some culture, at least they used to have some culture, they appreciate sadhu. So they have appreciated, who has made this Krishna conscious movement all over the world? Prabhupada. But in the Western countries, even though Krishna is known, Prabhupada isn't. Prabhupada made Krishna famous all over the world. Everyone all over the world, not everyone, but so many people, they know Hare Krishna. At least they know there's something there. But how many people know Prabhupada? Because Prabhupada was very busy making Krishna famous. But at least those who are more cultured and among his disciples and followers, they know Prabhupada. So there's nothing in that sense. If you do something glorious, it's good to be known for doing something glorious. Why not? Well, if you think, sometimes people say, I've heard this, well, I don't want to preach because people will praise me. Yeah, well, what, in the meantime, you won't get praised and they'll go to hell. So better you preach and they praise you and they don't go to hell. You save them, you bring them to Krishna. That is the duty of a Vaishnava, to preach to others. That is the duty of a Vaishnava, to do something for the benefit of others. Those who do something for the benefit of others, they become praised. You see, even Mother Teresa is famous all over the world for her useless charity work. Means that so many people are living on they live on the street of Calcutta all their life. And then when they're about to die, they go and find the dying people and put them in Mother Teresa's home, so they can die in her home after living their whole life on the street. And if they get better, then back on the street. Wonderful. Wonderful charity. And feed them some meat, so make sure they go to hell when they die. So but that's appreciated, even though people don't know actually what is real charity. They appreciate doing good for others. They're doing good for others. Just like people are thinking, yes, the NATO troops, they're very good. They're killing all the Serbians. They're doing good for others. Doing good for the Kosovo people. Doing welfare work for others. But what is real welfare work means to give Krishna consciousness. Pranar artha dhyavacha shreya acharanam sada. Bhagavatam says that by our life, by our money, by our intelligence, and by our words, we should do something good for others. That is a glorious life. That is even much better than the life of doing good for yourself spiritually. Even a devotee who's very nice, advanced, but he doesn't preach, is not as considered as good as a devotee who preaches Krishna consciousness. He's talking to Brahmananda. He said, you were one of the first devotees who came. You had so much spirit on my order. You went to Africa and so many places. Maintain that spirit. So we should maintain this spirit. The Krishna conscious movement is meant for doing good to others. It's not for promoting one's own name, fame, prestige, bank balance, or any such thing. The Krishna conscious movement is meant for doing good for others by spreading Krishna consciousness. You may become famous. Fame is paltry anyway. Krishna is famous. If you become famous, so what? The real thing is to become Krishna conscious. But if you do, if by your welfare work, by your efforts to help others, you become well known, and that is very good. We wonder our devotees should be the most famous people. In the newspapers you see, such and such a rascal says this, another rascal says that. Actually, they should be consulting our devotees. Our devotees have the knowledge by which people can be saved from birth and death. Our devotees have the knowledge, by the best knowledge. It's in a completely different category to anything that the karmis have. So if our devotees, by their activity, they become well known and respected in society, that we want. That is very good. Let us not try to drag everyone down and say, no, you all have to be on the same level. Here we have homogeneous democracy. Everyone's all the same. Actually, even the Mayavadis don't do that. Even the Mayavadis who say all one, they have very much protocol. The Shankaracharya may be saying that everything's all one, but he's the one who sits in the palanquin and others carry him. He's the one who has it. Have you seen they have a big crown? They do here in Kanchi also. In Sringeri they do that. They have a big crown and he sits. On their Guru Puja, Guru Purnima. That is the culture. Hare Krishna. Is there any question? Fate is stronger than I. Fate is stronger than I. Fate is stronger than I. That's just a saying. If someone says, "Oh, why is this happening? Fate is stronger than I. It's not in my control. Such and such is happening." I got an email. Someone wrote this. I said, saying that we want to open our temple on Rath Yatra today, even though we're not ready. So I wrote back then, "Why are you doing it? Fate is stronger than I." Actually, I think it means Jashamati Nandan is stronger than Basu Ghosh. By his fate, he's living there. I guess it's implied that, you know, you have to live with Yasho, and, you know, when Yasho wants something, he's very strong-willed. There must be a nyai for that understatement. Prabhupada explained that the soul who goes to the spiritual world, does he remember his suffering? Prabhupada explained somewhat vaguely. Just like if you have a dream. If you have a bad dream, you may vaguely remember it, but you don't take it very seriously. One of Krishna's qualities is fame. Qualities produce fame, so why is it a separate quality? Well, Krishna, he's all powerful, therefore he owns everything. Or you could say one is generated from another. I guess they're interlinked, aren't they? Well, the six qualities, that includes all the others, doesn't it? Yeah, mercy, affection, all these things are not stated in the six qualities. These are his Aishvaryas. It's a little bit different from personal qualities, isn't it? So does ownership or power. It's all relative to something else, isn't it? Yeah, but that's... Yeah, you're famous because of something. If a pure devotee desires, can he do what? Transform. A pure devotee, can he transform? Well, the thing is, a devotee, he may be able to do so many things by Krishna's grace. But generally, he sees what is Krishna's desire. And he acts according to Krishna's desire. So by Krishna's grace, he may be able to do many things, but he doesn't think, "I'd like to do that, let me do that." He sees what is Krishna's desire for me, and he does that. Are you reading Srila Prabhupada's books? You please read. I may suggest that for some time, you read a few books, and afterwards you ask some questions, because many of your questions, if you just read and chant, will be answered better. To ask questions properly, you have to have some basic knowledge. So at the moment, you're just asking questions from your concepts, which they're not very clear. So better you study Prabhupada's books and listen to the classes, and then when you get some more idea of Krishna consciousness, what it means, if on the basis of what you have read in Prabhupada's books and heard on the classes, then you ask questions, that would be better. So I suggest for some time, maybe for 1 month or something, you study the books, hear the classes, and then after that, when your understanding is a little deeper, then you begin to ask questions. I would say, in your case, this may be better. But I'm not saying it's good, it's nice you like to ask questions. But I think first you should get a little more deeply, a little more clear understanding of what this philosophy is. Just like you're asking, can a pure devotee do this or that? But it appears to me that you don't really understand what the term pure devotee means anyway. So even if I reply, still you won't understand. So first you have to have some basic knowledge. Then if you ask, it will be very nice. All right? If what? Yeah. Fame, of course, can lead to infamy. Pratishtasha, yes. Desire for... So you have to be careful not to mix material desires with spiritual desires. There's always a problem. That I am preaching because I, on the order of the spiritual master, and to help others, but at the same time, I'm enjoying some material taste of being honored by others. So you have to be careful not to mix, to keep out the impure desires. Hare Krishna.